John 16, John chapter 16, look at verse 1, John 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Keep reading. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning because I was with you, but now I go my way. We touched on the last 8 or 9 verses of chapter 15 on Wednesday night, but I want to deal faithfully with them. The Lord says many things here. I remind you that he's speaking to his disciples, no one else. He's speaking to his chosen ones, he calls them. And often, I started to name this, well, I did name it in the bulletin, but I'm going to change it. These things, take heed to these things. He said so many things, vital things, necessary things, life or death things. Not things you can take or leave it. There's nothing our Lord said you can take it or leave it. And nothing he said was just wise counsel, but it's commands. It's vital. It's vital means life. Your life depends on it. So, and Paul wrote later in Hebrews, he said, let us take heed to this thing. Let's give us more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Now remember? So, essence of what our Lord is saying to his disciples all through here is, number one, believe him. Trust him. Remember, as they started, you believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust me. He's saying, I am God. I reign. I rule. Believe me. Trust me. Bear fruit. This is why he chose them. This is why he chose us. This is why the Lord saved us. It bear fruit unto God's glory. Salvation is completely under the glory of God, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what it's all about. Not to keep us out of hell. Not to keep us out of hell, but to glorify him. His mercy, his grace. So he says, believe him, trust him, bear fruit unto the glory of God and the glory of the Son. He keeps telling them, you're not of this world. He keeps reminding them that over and over and over. You're not of this world. Why does he have to tell them that? Because they're in it. And they're tempted by it. Both messages go together today. Exodus, the Lord is bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so they traveled through the world, though, in a wilderness, and but many of them perished in the wilderness, in the world. Why? All they could think about was the world. They hadn't been out of Egypt very long at all, and a bunch of them wanted to go back. So the Lord keeps telling us, you're not of this world. I'm not of this world. You're not of this world. We should read 1 Corinthians 10 about every day. 1 Corinthians 10 is a summary of the children of Israel and how God had mercy on them. They all passed through the Red Sea and they all drank of that spiritual drink. All of them ate that bread and all of them saw these things and baptized. He said, but they were overthrown. Many of them were overthrown in the wilderness. I want to be like Joshua, don't you? I want to be like Caleb, don't you? I do. I want to be one of those faithful ones. So the Lord is telling them and us, you're not of this world. He's telling them, love one another. Love one another as I loved you. Because he says you're going to need some love because you're going to be hated. This is what he's saying. Love one another and prepare to be hated. Isn't that, you read it. You need not that one teach you that. And you know, I'm not, there's nothing in this Bible I teach you or preach to you because I think I've got a handle on it. Like I've got it perfected. Oh, no. I'm a man of like passions. I'm just like you. I've got the same problems. I need these things. I need to be reminded. I'm in the world. I need to be reminded. I'm not of it. This is not my city. This is not my home. Now, he said in chapter 5, the same thing he just said, verse 16. Look at verse 16 through 21. Let's read this again. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Why? That you bear fruit. The fruit unto the glory of God. And whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Sons of God. You know, we live so far below our privileges. We do. We live so far below our privileges. If my daughter only knew, if my grandchildren only knew what I would do if they just ask. And that sometimes they're reluctant, aren't they? That, you know, we'll tell them, get anything you want. Oh, Papa. Red, wouldn't you give them the skies? Is not the limit. How much more, our Heavenly Father, how much more? Ask and you receive. These things, verse 17, I command you that you love one another. Do we have to be told to love one another? Husbands, love your wife. I love my wife. Don't tell me that again. At times I don't act like I love my wife. I love myself. Anybody? We need to be told over and over again. When your children were growing up, you told them the same things over and over, didn't you? You told Davis the same thing over and over. When can I quit telling you that? Well, when he gets it. And when they get older, they'll surely have learned a lesson. Well, ought to. Love one another. Love one another. As I've loved you. That's true love, isn't it? Verse 18. If the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. How could the world hate Jesus Christ? How could anybody hate the altogether lovely Son of the Most High God? Because, brethren, let me remind you that mankind is evil. Don't let this world tell you. There's a country song that says, I believe there's good in everybody. No, there's not. That's a denial of God's word. That's calling God a liar. He said, there's not good. Not one. And the proof of that, the greatest proof of all, is when God came to earth and all mankind said, kill him. Get out of here. Right? I did. There was a time I didn't give God a thought. What does that mean? I don't care if Christ lived or died. Isn't that right? Never God gave God thanks. Took credit for everything. Ain't I something? Look what I've done. That was me. That was you. Right. Say it out loud. Right. But God. But God. Isn't God merciful? Isn't he gracious? Great love with he loved us who hated him. And he saved us that we might love him. Put the love of God in our heart, the love of Christ, love of the truth. Man doesn't love the truth, he hates it. So he says in verse 20, remember the word I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. They persecuted me, they persecute you. They will. If they've kept my saying, if they heard me and listened to me and believed me, they'll keep yours. That all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Sadly, and certainly, the people that will hate you, that despise you the most, are religious people, Christians.
But that woman that told you she hated your God, she's a good Christian, isn't she?
Then we don't have the same gods. They don't know Him. Most profess that. All these Pharisees and scribes and sages, they all said they knew God and loved God. No, all of them. It wasn't one of them wouldn't say that didn't know God. So our Lord spoke to them, verse 22, I came and spoke unto them. If I had not come and spoken unto them, I had not had what?
Sin. You know what the first thing God's Word does? And you know what every single preacher stands up and says? Man's a no good sinner. Repent. Do you ever hear that word anymore in modern religion? Mm-mm. Because men stand up everywhere and tell people how much God loves them and needs them and what good boys and girls they are. And God wants to so bad. He wants to let you. If you just do that. Isn't that right? That's the worst blasphemy. Repent. That's what our Lord said. Of what? Sin.
Sin against who? God. Every sin. Our Lord said, if I hadn't spoken, they wouldn't be convicted of their sin. But I did. And they hate me for it. They hate me for it. That's why they kept telling the prophets, prophesy smooth things. Smooth things. Don't tell us the truth about ourselves. Don't tell us the truth about God. Prophesy smooth. Lies. Lies. So our Lord spoke, in verse 25, He said, they hated me. This fulfills Scripture that says they hated me without a cause. Hated me without a cause. Now, our Lord, no one spoke with more mercy and grace and compassion and kindness than Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard Him speak? We will. Even His enemies said, never man spake like this man. No one spoke with more compassion. No one spoke more kindly, with more patience. But they hated Him. They hated Him. Paul, who hated the truth, he hated the truth. Saul of Tarsus hated the truth. He wrote young Timothy and said, speak the truth in love. Do it in love. Love to God's name, love to God's glory, love to God's mercy. Complete remembering that God had mercy on you. Paul was so merciful and gracious to the Pharisees, wasn't it? I was going to have you turn to Acts 21 where they just beat Paul almost to death. The centurion had to come down and get Paul out of a mob that would have killed him. They were trying to kill him. And they were dragging him off to keep people from killing him. He said, can I say something? He said, okay. And he stood up, his face all bloody and his eyes swollen shut. And he looked out at that crowd of people that hated him. And he said, Brethren, see, I was just like you. Ah, boy. We need to keep that in mind. We speak the truth in love. Love to God's name. Love to souls. Paul loved souls. Our Lord came to save men's souls out of love to their souls, our souls. Our heart's desire, like Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Didn't it? I want that to be my heart's desire. I want to love men as I love myself. I want to have a love for their soul. I want to have a burden for their soul. Right? Our parents. Our children. What do you want for your children? What is the thing you want more than anything in this world for your children? Really. Examine your heart. Your mind.
What do you want for your children? Them succeed in this world or know Jesus Christ? You know, young people can die, can't they? And if they're old enough to willingly sin against God, they're old enough to be punished for it. What do you want for your children? So you'll talk to them, won't you? What do you talk to them about? What do you urge them? What do you teach them? What are you instilling in them? Huh? What does our Lord, our God, our Father instill in His children? What did He talk to His little children about all the time? It was one thing. Right? One thing. That's what we want. We want them to know God, know Jesus Christ. And they won't know until the Lord reveals Himself to them, will it? They won't know. And He reveals Himself how? Right here. Preaching. Please God, not the foolishest preaching. But now the Lord uses seed. Remember when Philip went and got, was it Andrew? Or vice versa. And I forget. One of them got the other. Philip, we found him. Come with us. You hear him. This is the Christ. He was talking about Christ. Come, this is the Christ. Wasn't talking about doctrine. Wasn't talking about the church. There was no church. Come hear him. Is not this the Christ? True Christ. And so he uses means. The Lord uses means. He uses people to sow the seed that they to come and hear him. He said, that's who we want them to hear. And so we need to tell them, we need to speak to them, we need to bring them, if we can, bring them to hear the gospel, right? My little niece, great niece, grandniece, I don't know what you'd call her, Luke's daughter, firstborn, oldest daughter, Finley, one time they were all on the way to church Sunday morning in the car, and they drove by a man out cutting his grass on Sunday, you know. And Finley was about 3 or 4 years old, and she said, isn't he going to go worship the Lord? And Luke said, no, honey, he doesn't know the Lord. And she said, somebody needs to tell him. That break your heart. Why? Somebody needs to tell him.
Our Lord's talked about persecution and hatred. Cut off from society. That's proof of discipleship. Do you know that? 1 Thessalonians 1. Turn over there. And you know what? You won't have to cut people off. Just talk about your Lord and they'll cut you off. It's a fact. 1 Thessalonians 1. You won't have to tell your friends, I can't run with you anymore. I didn't do that. I didn't, and some of you haven't done that either, but they'll cut you off. I remember when the Lord first started dealing with me, I liked my friends, and I wanted to maintain those relationships, but the Lord was creating a new path. And old things pass away. I mean, it's old relationships. Old friends. New friends come along. And so I was talking to them about what the Lord had done for me. And several times, I remember, every single good friend I had, I talked to them while we were together. And one time, a fellow was, you know, one of my friends was in my house spending the night with me. I had a house by myself, and he was taking God's name in vain. I said, don't do that. That offends me. Don't do that. It never offended me before. And you know, he did it in my face, in my house. Well, eventually, they cut me off. I didn't have to cut them off. First Thessalonians 1, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, our gospel came, not unto you in word only, doctrine only, but in power, heart piercing, mind changing, soul saving power, and the Holy Ghost, who takes the things of Christ and much assurance, assuring us who God is, what we are, who Christ is, what salvation is. And you, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. They all did. Paul and the disciples went into Thessalonica and started preaching, and a mob got a hold of a fellow named Jason, wasn't it? Thessalonica, Jason, who believed. Why did he believe? Because the Lord did something for him. And they got him. They tried to kill Paul, but they were hidden. Silas, they were taken and away. But they got Jason and beat him up. And so there were, most of the people hated them, but some of them believed. And the Lord started a church there, Thessalonica. But they were in the midst of a community that did not, that hated their God and hated their gospel. So it says they received the word with much affliction, with joy. Our Lord said this, rejoice when men say all manner of evil against you falsely. My name's sake, didn't it? Why? Because they did that to the prophet. And verse 8 says, at 7, you were examples to all that believe, and from you sounded out the word, verse 8. And everywhere your faith is spread abroad. Everywhere. You see, the gospel, Paul, our Lord said this in chapter 16. He said, don't be offended. Remember? He said, don't be offended. He said, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. Blessed. He said, confess me, I'll confess you. Didn't it? Paul once hated the truth. He hated the truth. And Ananias is whom the Lord sent to preach to Paul. He's the preacher God sent to Paul. You know, he was scared to death to go speak to Paul. You know that? He said, Lord, he's killing people. Send somebody else. He was. He's scared. Ananias. So he came, and the Lord had changed that monster, Saul of Tarsus, into a lamb. Man who hated the truth, he loved it. Made a little child out of it. It's that Pharisee of Pharisees made a little child out of it. Says he's with them, coming to go. New creature. And then Paul, after that, Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Remember that? I'm set. At one time, he set his mind, his heart, to kill this gospel, to kill everybody believing. Now he said, I'm set for the defense of it. He said, I'm ready to die for it. Didn't he? I want to be like that. I want to be so set for the defense of my Lord's honor and that mine doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. I don't care. Manny and I were talking about that the other day. And you do care what people think about you. You do care. You should care that people don't think of you as a dishonest person but when it comes right down to it, we shouldn't care. We shouldn't seek the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's the Pharisee did. Pharisee didn't it. We shouldn't care what people think about us all. The only person we should care who thinks about it is our Lord. And that's a fact. You see, the gospel's good news. The gospel's good news. But only to those who've heard the bad news. The gospel's not good news to evil man. Man's evil. Man calls good evil and evil good. He got it all judgments backward. Man doesn't think of himself as a sinner and God holy. Oh, no. The gospel's offensive to man. It's offensive. The sovereign grace of God, God's sovereignty, offends man's free will. Man loves his free will. Religious or irreligious, everybody loves their free will. And you talk about God doing his will, man doesn't like that. It offends him. I'll have you know, I do what I will. No, you don't either. God does. Depravity, to talk about man's depravity, utter depravity, none good, no, not one, none righteous, no, not one, and or even our righteousness, a filthy rag. Right, that offends man's worth. I'm not that bad. You're worse than you know. Right? The talk of the gospel is a revelation. No man by searching can find out God. God must reveal himself. It's completely up to him to reveal himself to whom he will. You tell, say that, that offends man's wisdom. Why, I've got a doctorate. I've got all these degrees. That doesn't amount to nothing. You don't know God. That offends man's wisdom. Right? To talk about blood and righteousness, the only way to get to a holy God, that's so barbaric, that's so archaic, that's so out of fashion. This is the 21st century, man. Blood and righteousness? That God had to kill somebody to save my life? Shed his blood? Come on. And that offends man's works. Well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm moral, and it doesn't amount to nothing. That, in fact, that's a stench in God's nostril. In fact, that's what makes God angry. Because if it comes by you doing anything, righteousness, acceptance with God, Jesus Christ didn't need to come here. And he sure didn't need to hang on a cross. That offends man's works. We're saved by one work. You know that? We're saved by one work performed by Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. That's a fact. There's nobody going to be in heaven except those who Jesus Christ died for. And every single one person he died, and God chose them. To know this, to know him. And every single person Jesus Christ died for, they repent of their sin. They thank God for his mercy, love, and grace. And they believe the truth. They do. They see that Christ is all. They all know. They all know Christ is all. So, Paul said, we've got to speak the truth. But do it in love. Do it in love. Now, here's a sad fact. Go with me to Hebrews 10. I'm almost finished here. Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is the sad fact of the matter. And we all have done this. At first, we were real zealous for the truth. When the Lord first deals with you, you're just bubbling over and you just tell everybody you can get around. I did. There was not one person that confronted me that I worked on a railroad or whatever that I did not speak to them. No one. There wasn't one friend, old friend, that didn't hear from me what God had done for me. No one. The sad thing is, after a while, some persecution, some rejection, you can't get anybody to hear it, you think, what's the use? Don't you? I'm guilty. What's the use? They're not going to believe it. Rip? Anybody? Anybody other than me? Everyone. I know it's so. We all think that. They're not going to believe this. They'll just get in a fight. I don't want this strife. I'd rather get along with them.
How can you? The only way, and it's what we said Wednesday, the only way you can get along and maintain relationships in this world is to not tell the truth. Be silent. Peter sat there by the fire. He was getting along just fine. How? Why? And then somebody said, "You're one of his disciples, aren't you?" "No, not me." I did that 3 times. I've done it 300 times. Silence is to deny. And Peter went out and wept bitterly, and that's what we need to do. I've denied the one who died for me. He went out and wept bitterly. Look at Hebrews 10. He says in verse 32. Oh my, you know what all Hebrews 10 says. Oh, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If we sin willfully, that means leave the gospel, leave the truth. If we leave willfully, it's always willfully. It's always the world. Always the world. Every time. And verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance. Remember the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Verse 33, you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, and you became companions. Your friends, you had new friends, and that's who you ran with from then on. Verse 34, boy, they loved the preacher. He had compassion on me and my bonds. They loved the preacher. The one told them the truth. Let me say a few things about witnessing. And, you know, the apostles, our Lord warned them, said, this is going to happen to you. You'll know when it happens that I've already told you it's going to happen. It's not if. It's not if, but it's when. They hated the apostles, and every one of them but one were killed. The Lord said they were going to do that. You know how many people have been killed down through the years for the truth? Mm-hmm. Most did not believe. Many, if not most, hated the apostles. They hated what they heard. They rejected them. What'd they do? They kept preaching it. Most did not believe. But you know what? I told Mindy on the way here, I said, you know, salvation. We were talking about our young people out in the world and all caught up in the vanities of it and the temptations of it. And I know, I was there. It's a tough, strong pull, like a big, powerful magnet. And the flesh is no match for this world, no match for the God of this world. And I said, we both agreed, salvation is a miracle. It's a miracle if God works in a mind, a young mind, or a heart of somebody and turns them like that prodigal son. He brings them to see themselves and see the hog pen they're in. That's a miracle. How do I know? Because I'm the greatest miracle God has ever performed. I really am. Let me never forget that. And if I don't, if I won't forget that, I'll have more compassion on Israel. A little more of a burden I get. Most did not believe. Most hated what the apostles were saying, but some didn't. Some didn't. Some believed. Our Lord said, many are called, but few. Chosen. He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. You're one of the chosen. How do we know who the chosen are? Our Lord sent them out as fishers of men. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. There's some fishermen in here. The disciples, most of the time they went fishing, they caught these fellows may say they catch, but show me the pictures. Went fishing. You don't have to ask a fella if he caught anything, if he went fishing. You don't have to ask him. You'll know. He'll brag about it. He'll tell you. He'll send you a picture. Most of the time, they didn't catch anything. toiled all night. Mindy and I have talked to every neighbor around our house. None of them are here right now. Some came, though. 5 or 6 or 7 came. One lady came many times. 2 ladies came many times. And they're gone. They're gone. That's all we can do, isn't it? That's all we can do. Our goal, our aim is for them to come hear the gospel. Come hear the gospel. You know, I thought about this. It's not easy to preach. What I'm doing is not easy. Nothing easy about it. But in some respects, it's easier than talking to somebody one-on-one. In some respects, I'd whole lots rather speak to and preach to people that love the gospel and those that don't. I have preached in places where nobody there was a believer. And that's tough. That's the majority of the places Paul preached to. That's the way it was. What did he do? I quit. No. God opened some eyes. Here little, there little. Witnessing. Our Lord said this to a man one time that he healed. He said, you go home. Here's what you do. You go home and you try to convince them of the 5 points of Calvinism. No. You go home and you tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you. We want to tell people about Christ, not our church. We're not looking. Dad used to say, I'm not looking for church members. Church members will do nothing but cause you trouble. He said, I'm on the trail of God's sheep. Sheep will hear, sheep will follow, sheep love the shepherd. Peter said this. He said, we're a peculiar people, purchased people, holy nation, peculiar people, that we might show forth the praises of him that called us. That's why. How can you do that? Well, a humble attitude before this proud generation. I go a long way. A thankful spirit and attitude before this unthankful, ungrateful, complaining, murmuring, bittering. Just a word, you know. It's going to rain again. Oh, isn't God merciful? My neighbor, a young boy, said, he was complaining about the rain. I said, called his name and said, we can't live with that rain. And God just lets it, God just sends it out of the sky. He ought to burn us all up. A devoted life. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at this. 1 Peter 4. A devoted life to God's worship. Look at 1 Peter 4. You know these verses. 1 Peter 4. Look at it. It says, verse 3, now the time of our life, past of our life. You have 1 Peter 4, 3. Time past of our life sufficed to have wrought the will of the Gentile. That's Ephesians 2. By nature, children of wrath, even as others. We walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine. Live for that. Revelings, banqueting. Some of you, it was religion. You're in false religion. Okay? Same evil. Abominable idolatry is religion is abominable idolatry. But now, he says, they think it's strange you don't run with them the same excess of riot. Speaking evil of you. What do you mean you don't run with them? Just that. No. Who do you run with? Who do sheep run with? Sheep. Who do dogs run with? Cats? Do dogs and cats? Cats run from dogs. After its kind. The Lord created everything after its kind. And that's who they stick together. Birds of a feather do what? Flock. These are my people.
Orpah and Ruth. Orpah and Ruth. The Lord revealed himself to one of them. Orpah, I'm going back to the world of my gods and my family and everything. Ruth said, not me. You're going to find me in God's house with God's people, praising God and worshiping Jesus Christ. That was all by God's grace. All by God's grace. Here's the thing. We cannot open doors. We cannot. But we can pray to God to open them. Mm-hmm. Well, God opens, no man can shut. But he shuts. You know, you've talked to people, and if God shuts the door, it's just not there. But we can open the door. I pray for him to open the door. We can't make people come, but we can pray that God will. And that's what we should do. We cannot, or we should not, beat people over the head with the truth. I've done that. I've done that. I was working construction when the Lord was dealing with me, and I was down digging as just a laborer and with some other fellows, and down in the basement of some building digging a footer to pour a wall, and I started talking to the fellow about the truth, and he went somewhere else and he hated it, and we got in an argument, and but it's all I could do to keep from taking that shovel and hitting him right over the head with it. I wanted to bad. and he would have got what he deserved. But you can't beat. Peter did that, didn't he? In the garden, he took out the sword, cutting heads off. Our Lord said, "Put your sword away." Didn't come to destroy man. That's one time they wanted to call down fire on everybody. He said, "That's bad spirit. I didn't call down fire on you." We cannot beat people over the head with it. Shouldn't. We can, though, speak a word in season. That's what I was talking about. Speech with grace, seasoned with salt. You've done it. I've done it. We talk to the blue in the face and try to come up with every scripture we can think of. Don't do that. Give them one verse. Give them one verse. A word. An invite. Talk about the means God has given. Why don't you listen to my pastor on the radio? He's on the radio. Sermon audio. Here, I want you to listen to it. I want you to listen to it. So, our Lord said, don't be offended. These things have I spoken unto you that should not be offended. They're going to put you out of their company. And, you know, that's in Hebrews 11. All of Hebrews 11 is people just like you and me. Abel, the Lord revealed the truth to Abel. He had a brother that hated the truth, and he hated his brother. How can that be? Well, it is.
I know from experience. Jacob, he had a brother. He loved him. You love your sister? All of them, don't you? You got to love Christ more. God's people do. Enoch thought, I'm alone in this world. Nobody believes like I did. Oh, Enoch, there's something out there. That's what Elijah thought. Noah, 100 years. 100 years. Every person in that neighborhood or anywhere around that came from far and wide to see this ark, this man's building. You know what he's saying. What is he saying? Nothing? Why are you building this ark, Noah? Because God is angry. Because God is holy. And there's one way. Moses. I love the story of Moses more than any story in Hebrews 11. See, Moses, when he was come to years, he was born and raised in Egypt. And boy, God, he met the Lord at the burning bush. And Moses said, you know what? I don't want to be in Egypt anymore. I don't want to be Pharaoh's daughter. I want to be God's son. I don't want to run with those fellas I used to run with. I want to wander through the wilderness with God's people for the rest of my life. That's what I want. I don't want the throne of Egypt. I want the throne of God. Right? You know where he is right now? Sitting by him on the throne. And all his old friends. They wish they'd have done the same thing. Okay. May the Lord bless them.